Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be getting into the latest on health and nutrition, including two nutrients that will improve your level of stress. Taking the cortisol that rises when you're stressed or angry and bringing it down so that it doesn't hurt you, because elevated cortisol shortens your telomeres. That's new research that I just read this morning in a scientific journal. That means that you literally die earlier when you're under stress. University of Illinois, broccoli is beneficial for giving you the good bacteria. Well, we knew it helped us with cancer. More information on how it helps us otherwise in the body. University of Michigan, food insecurity can affect your mental health. Wow. Just in the United States, we have more than 50 million Americans who are food insecure. Of those 50 million, 16.8 million are children. Of those, 2.4 million are homeless children. They go to school, but they have no home to go to when they leave school. And they have no idea if they'll have another meal. So why isn't that up on our priority list? Why aren't we trying to feed the insecure of food in the United States? Well, we're not doing a good job with it nationally or internationally. Over 1.1 billion people worldwide are also food insecure. We'll deal with that. Also today, we're going to look at yoga reducing the symptoms of menstrual disorders. King's College London did a good study on that, and we'll share that with you. And how exercising and vitamin D together is really good for your heart. Johns Hopkins University says so. And also today, we'll look at how breathing your way to preventing high blood pressure. University of Melbourne talks about hypertension, which is a real killer, and how you can breathe your way out of it. Also today, we'll be looking at a lot of other issues, including I'm going to continue with our series, it's part four today, of the history of the major battles in the health movement that we have undertaken in order for you to be able to have thermography and not just mammography, for you to know that there are alternative ways of approaching every disease like cancer, heart disease, and arthritis, mental disorders, instead of an orthodox approach by itself. The environmental battles we've fought. So when someone says, gee, why don't you just talk about bean sprouts? Well, maybe you ought to look at the fact that anything that you're doing today involving health, there have been multiple battles by very brave people over a long period of time so we can have our freedoms, whether we use them responsibly or not. So I'm going to go into our part four on that today. Also getting off the grid. I know many of you would like to get off the grid and be less dependent upon the control of major corporations over your lives. I'm going to give you a primer on that today. Also, from Professor Paul Craig Roberts, The Looting Machine Called Capitalism. I have my own ideas. I've written a commentary I'll be sharing today on the same topic, interspersing it, where I believe that if we as individuals simply stop for a moment and ask ourselves, what is the likely outcome from what I'm about to do to the environment, to people, to animals, to myself, to my family, to my neighborhood? It would then, for many people, not all, it would give them a sense of pause and realize, wow, I actually live in a world with other people. Shouldn't their interest also count? So that will be a commentary I'll be giving a little later. And this is in direct relationship to a clip I played from an old 60 Minutes interview with George Soros, and you heard him say he doesn't care about anything except making money. He's in it for the money. He's, quote, a player. And the social or personal consequences of how he makes his money is irrelevant. Well, it may be irrelevant to him, who's a multi-billionaire, but what about all the poor people who, when he devalued the Russian ruble, or when he devalued the peso, or when he manipulated currencies in other countries, and that caused people to go to the starvation level? and then so-called liberals take his money as if somehow they're prideful of that. Are they going to also be associated with how he made his money? So we're going to talk about that. From our audio file today, we're going to play clips from George Carlin. I always like George. He makes us think. Sometimes squirm when we think, but we think. From a Berkeley doctor, Dr. Hardin Jones, he's claiming that the science shows that more people are dying from the chemotherapy than from the cancer. Also, if time permits, and I'm not sure it will, we have a lot to get in today, I want you to hear, these are two very popular televangelists with big congregations talking about why they have to fly first class, quote, because it's impossible to talk to God in coach. Really? Wow. Unless you hear them, you wouldn't know they say it. And what does that say about their mindsets? And those are the people that actually give them credibility by supporting them. And also, for those of you who want to know, where can you get good information without it being biased and lacking objectivity, such as a lot of the fake news outlets like the New York Times, Washington Post, NBC, Fox, and also on some liberal stations, you can get a smattering of quality and fake news as well. I'm going to give you a list today of the organizations who are rather consistent in giving us high quality, objective information that the mainstream media won't touch. Also, with the people you hear as guests on this program, every day of the week, six shows a day, Monday through Friday, noon to one, Tuesday on the Progressive Commentary Hour, 7 to 8, we go out of our way to find people that you're not hearing elsewhere. Have you ever noticed the same people keep showing up on radio, television, all the time? You know what they're going to say, you know their biases. What's the point? Well, we take a radically different view. We find the people who have real progressive ideas and bring them on. So that's our show. And also today, we're back for the first time in 15 months and 2 weeks on our sister station, WBAI, on Fridays. And a little later on in the show, I'll give you the best explanation that I can as to why we've been gone for 15 months and 2 weeks. But let's start with something that really empowers us, something we can do something about. This is from Health Technologies, done at the University of Georgia, and they found two nutrients, lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and also zeaxanthin, the two nutrients known as macular carotenoids. Well, they're traditionally known to help your eyes, and they do. They help your immune system. They help the quality of your skin. They help your hair and fingernails. So that's all good. But now University of Georgia researchers have found that they also help your brain, showing that they improve psychological stress levels and reduce serum cortisol. And that is important. The study was the subject of a recent paper. Quote, supplementation with macular carotenoids reduces psychological stress, serum cortisol, and suboptimal symptoms of physical and emotional health in young adults, end quote. And it was published in the journal Nutritional Neuroscience. So in lay language, it means that two nutrients, very easy to get, they're super antioxidants, by the way. They have an enormous capacity, especially zeaxanthin, for quenching free radicals, what are called singlet radicals. Anytime you exercise, you create oxidative stress. When you're around people smoking, secondhand smoke, if you're drinking alcohol, if you're under stress, you create free radicals. So free radicals then hit the cells and alter the cells, damage your cells. So anything you can take in that can grab those, bond with them, and neutralize them is good. Well, this one nutrient is over 400 times more potent than vitamin E at neutralizing free radicals. It is a superstar. It's in a galaxy by itself. It's better than vitamin E, vitamin C, coenzyme Q10. It does more. So they found that it also benefited the brain, lowering cortisol levels. So if you want to help yourself with the consequences of stress and the elevated cortisol, which will kill you and shorten your lifespan substantially, lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and I'll spell zeaxanthin, Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. You don't need much. 25 milligrams of both would be fine. Broccoli, we know that it's containing indole-3 carbonyl, an anti-cancer agent. We know that it's loaded with the very important cruciferous nutrients. Now, there are other vegetables that have them, like watercress, kale, broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus. They all, mustard, radishes also have it. And the isothiocyanates. Well, it turns out, yeah, great for preventing cancer and if you have cancer. But new research done at the University of Illinois in Urbana and also at the National Cancer Institute showed that consuming broccoli can change the diversity and composition of the microbiota, meaning the good bacteria, in your gastrointestinal tract. That's good news. Quote, these novel results reveal that broccoli consumption affects the diversity and composition of the GI microbiota of healthy adults. And this was published in the FESEB Scientific Journal. Good. Eat your broccoli, prevent cancer, and have healthier bacteria. Also, according to University of Michigan, article published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, food insecurity affects over a billion people worldwide, but a lot of them are right here in the United States. And it's a complex phenomena encompassing food availability, affordability, utilization, and even the social norms that define acceptable ways to acquire food. And what happens is there are an awful lot of senior citizens in the United States, at least 15 million, but probably that's a very low estimate, who are also struggling with food insecurity, but they have really no advocates. You never see an article on this, like you never see an article on people dying of malnutrition or dehydration in nursing homes, but it's a common phenomena because they don't have advocates. As a result, women and men have to decide, okay, I'm living off a fixed income, frequently Social Security, maybe some savings, maybe, if they're lucky, a pension. But put all that together, and it just barely makes ends meet. Now, take some of that away, and it doesn't. So do they take their medicines and have the copay, rent or a mortgage payment, utilities, a phone bill, and food? And guess which item gets the least effort and attention? Food. When I was doing my film Poverty Inc., 3 years ago, and it took 6 years to film, I actually met a woman whose home from the outside looked nice. Just a nice middle-class home. But inside, everything was empty except one room. And she told me her story, and her story was that she had been fine. She had worked a company for over 30 years. Then they brought in someone that she was forced to train for 6 months to master her job. She said it was a nice person. They came from India, and that person who had a PhD, she did not, but she had seniority, took her job and gave that person one-third the salary and no benefits, and that's very common, by the way. And then she found herself without a job, and nobody wanted to hire someone in their late 50s. Who had that seniority, when they could hire someone young, you know, at one-third the price. So she found herself trying to maintain her lifestyle. Also, she had two kids in college, and she had co-signed on their payments, and she found herself responsible because they couldn't make enough money to pay back their loans. And as you know, if you can't pay back student loans, which is a national disgrace anyhow, we should forgive those loans. We could easily forgive those loans. I'll talk about that a little later. She ended up having to get another mortgage. Then they don't give mortgages when you don't have a job. And they won't just give it based upon the value of the house itself. The house had no mortgage, now it did. So over a period of 7 years, she found that she went from having savings in the bank, a good job, health insurance, kids in college, to having kids that were not employed in a meaningful way, one living at home, all of it on her, lost her job, went through her savings, and one day she's got a house that she had to sell off her furniture. She's living in one room, and she goes to the store and clips coupons, and she buys cat food, cat tuna, because it's cheaper than human. And I said, you realize that that doesn't pass human health standards. And she shrugged. What am I supposed to do? I just don't have enough money to pay for everything. So understand, you may be in a very fortunate position, and I hope you are, where you don't have to concern yourself with what am I going to put my money on today, but I can assure you this, 260 million Americans have that problem. So we should understand that food insecurity is a big deal. It's not just discussed. In fact, nearly one in three individuals, that's 29.2% globally, experience a common mental disorder during their lifetime, such as depression and anxiety and somatic symptom disorders. Why? Because they can't feed themselves or their family, so it throws them into an emotional state. I think that we should re-examine where we're putting our money and our priorities. Also from King's College London, an article published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine shows that yoga, and this was a systematic review of all the scientific literature on yoga, helps women with common menstrual disorders. And it really made improvements, reduced symptoms. So that's good. So for those women that you know who may be suffering from any form of menstrual difficulties, yoga could be helping them. And finally, from Johns Hopkins University, exercise and vitamin D are better together for heart health. They took a look at 10,000 Americans over 20 years and found that synergistic link between exercise and vitamin D levels reduced the risk of heart attack and stroke. Now, my suggestion is that you exercise, even walking, 5 days a week, half hour in the morning, half hour in the late afternoon, early evening. And do you also do some, let's say, resistance work, or you do some real strong work. If you're biking, bike real hard. And that even strengthens your body's ability to withstand aging. Intense workouts really make a difference. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and healing. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us.
One less bell to answer. One less ache to frown. One less man to pick up.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. Is capitalism the success story that those who believe in it and the trickle-down theory, is it really about making profits, growing the economy, increasing the gross domestic product of goods and services that we produce, and just keep growing since we only have one finite planet? The way our economy and the economists, most with the exception of people who are really good economists and smart and wise, when like Michael Hudson, and Greg Palast, who will be on, by the way, Greg will be on next week, talking about this. Most economists think that it's okay. We need to keep this engine running. And I say we should change completely. We should learn to live with less. We should actually make it an art to recycle and to get off the grid in ways that we have to have more. More stuff. We don't need more stuff. But even the stuff we have, there is an external cost that we never consider. And costs that are external to the company, although produced by the company's activities, all the economists and the politicians and those in the media say it's not really a problem. After all, if anything happens to you, let's say if you breathe in a pesticide or eat something that you get sick, No problem. You'll be compensated. Yeah. No, you won't. If that were the case, there would be not a single manufacturer of vaccines because of the millions of people who've been adversely affected by vaccines, yet they've been exempted by politicians and lobbyists and profits and corruption from ever being held economically accountable. So that doesn't work. And what about all the asbestos victims? It took 40 years to get them. And what about the Native Americans, the Navajo in particular, who were working in the uranium trailing mines out in Montana and other places? Where was theirs? And what about all the shipbuilders? And what about the coal miners with black lung? And what about the mill workers with brown lung? And what about all the people suffering from carpal tunnel syndrome? And what about, and what about, and what about? Yeah. It's not true that our free market society will always compensate those who have been harmed. And as a result, the people making a product never consider what it means to be on the other end and having to pay for the unintended consequences. And I'll just try to make it even a little simpler. Let's just say that you have bought a house near a beach where you have a beautiful ocean view. And then 3 months later, someone comes in and builds a home in front of yours, and then on either side. Well, does the person who developed that land, knowing they're going to block all the views of everyone behind them, do they give you any compensation for the lack of value in your real estate or the lack of aesthetic view that you bought it to begin with? The answer is no. They do not have to compensate for what they have done that depreciates someone else's value. And also, what about when, a hotel is put in a place where you had been going for your vacations and now it's congested and the quality of that quiet, serene environment is overwhelmed by noise and because someone got the advantage of being able to put a hotel there. So do they compensate you? Not at all. And that is the way it works. So now consider the external cost of other things you may not have considered. What about offshore production of goods and services that every president from Ronald Reagan really accelerated under Hillary and Bill Clinton's co-presidency, again accelerated under George Bush's, and really hit full throttle under Obama? They were all neoliberalist. They are all universalist. They were all globalist. They all believe that everything's better if it makes money for the major corporations. And by the way, I predicted 4 years ago that Barack Obama would be the first post-president billionaire. And I had a friend who said, no way. Well, he just got a $60 million book deal, and his first lecture was for $400,000 down on Wall Street. No one gives anyone $400,000 to come in and, you know, chatter a little bit about nothing, smile, sign some. That's payback. That's big time payback. And that's the way it's always worked. It worked with Bill Clinton. It worked with Hillary Clinton. Why do you think every single major corporation in America, every single industry supported Hillary Clinton? The arms industry, big agri, big medical, big insurance, big food, because they all knew that she's got their back. In return, come lecture. You made us billions, hundreds of billions. We'll give you, how about $50,000 a pop? No, $500,000 a pop per lecture. As a lecturer, I can tell you that no one gets that kind of money, and no publisher gets $60 million for a book that will not sell that many copies. There's nothing he can say that he hasn't already said that's interesting. Again, it's all the payback. So now let's just take a look at what happens when all these good people and their policy wonks decide U.S. corporations should be allowed, like Apple and Nike, to market their products in America, but make them overseas. Okay. When production facilities in the United States are closed and the jobs are moved to China, for example, the American workers lose their jobs. They lose medical coverage, careers, pension provisions, and often their self-respect when they are unable to find comparable employment or any employment. Some fall behind in their mortgage and car payments and lose their homes and cars. Some end up in debtors' prisons, which were supposed to have been outlawed in 1833. The cities, states, and federal governments lose the tax base as personal income and sales taxes decline, and depressed housing and commercial real estate prices in the abandoned communities. You close down a factory, watch how quickly the house market collapses. And with that collapsing house market, property taxes collapse. And when property taxes collapse, local communities don't have the money to repair roads, to put light bulbs in, to have adequate police or fire departments. Social Security and Medicare funding is harmed as payroll tax deposits fall. State and local infrastructure declines, and possibly crisis rises. Safety nets are not going to be funded. Municipal and state workers find their pensions at risk. Education suffers. All these costs greatly exceed Apple and Nike's profits from substituting cheaper foreign labor for American labor, contradicting the neoliberal claims Apple and Nike's prices do not drop despite the collapse in labor costs that the corporations experience. A country that has intentionally governed in the right way for its people would not allow this to happen. But as the United States is so poorly governed and has been for at least the last 40 years, the executives and shareholders of global corporations are greatly enriched because they can impose the cost associated with their profits on external third parties. So the unambiguous fact is that the United States capitalism is a mechanism for looting the many for the benefit of the few. And neoliberal economies are constructed in order to support this looting. In other words, neoliberal economists are the pimps, just like most of the Western print and television and radio media are. And yet Americans are so intentionally uninformed that you will hear those who are being looted praise the merits of the free market capitalism. And to show you how absurd this is, there was just a study I just got from my office this morning, and it showed that in the latest poll, and this was a Politico survey, that American voters support the military-industrial complex more than they support any other recipient of U.S. federal government spending. The military-industrial complex includes almost all federal contractors, of which there are 400,000. And the top 10, we're talking about Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, McKinson, United Technologies, L3, Bechtel, and BAE. These are the companies that benefit. And yet, ask the average American, are you aware that there's massive corruption? There's massive duplication. In one case, they found 10 different companies given the same identical contract to produce something that cost billions of dollars we didn't need to begin with. No, I didn't know that. Well, it's everyday business as usual, and that's what happens when the wealthy industrialists take over. And then they build a bridge that is terrible, that they never had any experience with, and they get contracts to, you know, they charge cost plus, so they're making billions of dollars, and no one pays attention. So there's a consequence. There's a consequence to when you put up a factory. There's a consequence when you offshore products, but you never have to pay for those. So if the developer in California keeps putting developments around the ocean where you're on a fault line, you have terrible weather conditions for the future, you're already overly congested, and you're living in an artificially controlled environment, which is simply not sustainable, does that person have to pay anything for all the other services like the roads? No. And the pollution? No. And the use of all that water from limited sources? No. Just like the person doesn't have to pay for the emissions out of a steel mill or coal-fired power plant that's polluting the air and causing lung disease and destruction of forest and topsoil. They don't have to pay for that. But what would be different if you had to pay for it? What would happen if for everything you destroyed, you had to pay for? If you're exploiting the workers like Ivanka Trump's is paying, from the latest research, $1 for the work being done and in $1 an hour in China for her line of clothes that is very expensive. Is there any reason that they couldn't pay a living wage? No, there's no reason. It's just all companies can pay a lot more than what they're paying for the labor. It's just that they pride themselves in being able to force more profit from the worker who has the least amount of say-so into the policymakers, the board of directors, the officers, and the shareholders. It's a very inhumane way of doing business. Could they actually make a profit and still not destroy the environment? Could they give people quality of work environments? The answer is yes. But that's not the way the game is played. And as a result, today, when we take an honest look, so far we have barely scratched the surface of the external cost that capitalism imposes. Now consider the pollution of the air, the soil, the waterways, the oceans that result from profit-making activities. Consider the radioactive waste pouring out of Fukushima since March 2011 into the Pacific Ocean. Consider the dead zones that I talk about all the time, including at the Gulf of Mexico, largest the state of New Jersey, right at the Gulf. And that's from agricultural chemical fertilizer runoff. Consider the destruction of the Appalachian and Florida environments. Consider the destruction of oyster beds from the restricted river water that feeds the bay due to overdevelopment upstream. Examples such as these are endless. The corporations responsible for these destructions bear zero costs. And if it turns out that global warming and ocean acidification are consequences of capitalism's carbon-based energy system, the entire world could end up suffering, as it has, from external cost of capitalism. No, the free market advocates love to ridicule economic planning. And Alan Greenspan and Larry Summers actually said that markets are self-regulating. Really? Show me where they've been properly self-regulating. You can't. Show me trickle down that trickles down to the average person. It doesn't. It never has. There's no sign anywhere of this self-regulation. Instead, there are external costs piled upon external cost. And that's one of the reasons why overdevelopment has made metropolitan areas like Atlanta and San Francisco and Los Angeles and New Orleans and New York dysfunctional. Planning does not mean the replacement of markets. It means the provisions of rules that produce rational results instead of shifting cost of development onto third parties, the innocent citizen. If capitalism had to cover the cost of its activities, how many of the activities would pay? As capitalists do not have to cover these external costs, what limits the cost? And once the external costs exceed the biosphere's ability to process the waste products associated with it, life ends. We cannot survive an unregulated capitalism with a system of primitive proprietary rights. Ecological economists such as Herman Daly understand this, but neoliberal economists are apologists for capitalist looting. Plain and simple. I'm Gary Noll. Now, a few things that can help us get off the grid. Now, I realize you can't always write everything down quickly. Maybe you are driving, can't write it down at all. So I'm going to give you a phone number, and you can go to the archives in the late afternoon when the show is posted, and therefore you can take your time and listen, stop, pause, write stuff down. There's a phone number to listen to this program live every day. So for any reason you turn on this dial and I'm not here, it's not that I'm not broadcasting. Oh, I'm broadcasting every day. But here's the number that you can always listen to this show. 619-550-0869. 619-550-0869. Also, you can listen to the archives. That's a separate number. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. Now, for those of you who would like to get off the grid, and maybe you want to take your time and do it, that's fine. Become your own boss. Have your own hobbies that you can turn into a way of earning income. Let me give you an example. I know someone who went through a divorce, had two children, had to put them through college, was challenged, had to do babysitting and everything, but actually did it and the kids got out of college, that's fine. And now the person said, what should I do? And I suggested, because it's a friend of mine, why, you love gardening. Yeah, I love gardening. Why don't you open up your own hydroponic? And now that person has got their own small hydroponic garden and is earning enough income to be able to, from farmers markets, selling fresh organic produce. Sprouts grow in 3 to 7 days, microgreens in 10 to 20 days, regular vegetables hydroponically in about 30 days, one-third the normal time. That person's actually earning a greater income, doing something really good, helping people's health, participating in local economy and sustainability. Everything you could do right, that person's now doing right, and not expensive to get started. So one of the things you could do, another friend of mine was an artist, and I looked at the person's work and I said, wow, you come up with a really neat idea. This person goes around to yard sales and flea markets and buys old furniture, you know, 10 bucks for this, 2 bucks for that, takes it back and then does beautiful paintings similar to Peter Max, and then takes it to a market and sells it a piece of art. Now, I've seen these. These are beautiful. When she finishes doing them, they're really good. So many things you could do. Pay off your debts. Live a debt-free life. Narrow down your main skills and sharpen them. Turn hobbies into money-making ventures for yourself. Cut down all unnecessary expenses. Get rid of all the clutter and unnecessary items. Live more simply. Stop expensive habits, and especially habitual shopping, eating out. Make necessary dietary changes to sustain your health. Don't put anything in your body that doesn't maintain your health, because then that's an extra distraction, disease, and expense you don't need. Try to get off the grid as much as possible. If you can, join different food co-ops, join different back-to-the-land movements. Learn how to grow foods. You can go out on the weekend and learn this. Learn how to compost. Learn how easy it is. Learn about building and installing solar panels and other alternative energies. And by the way, solar is getting cheaper by the day. And remember, you can educate yourself outside the classroom. This whole idea of people going to college at this time, unless you have a very wealthy family or you can pay for it yourself, I don't suggest anyone going to college at this moment. I believe that we're going to be hitting some major cataclysmic events environmentally, financially. The bubble's going to burst. We have a credit card bubble. We have a student loan bubble. We have a subprime bubble again. We have a commercial real estate bubble. And we also have a car payment bubble. We have 5 major bubbles, plus the equity bubble on Wall Street. They're all going to be popping within the next, I believe, 24 months. So don't participate. Don't be buying homes at this time. It's a wrong time to be spending money. It's the right time to be paying off your debts if you can. And you don't need to go to a college to get an education. And a lot of young people, 55% of all people graduating from college, are not going to have a job that pays them. They can get, you know, junk jobs, but nothing they were really educated for. So why spend all that money? Why incur $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in debt when you're not going to have a way of paying it off, and then you're going to pay $100,000. Better to wait. Better to go to a trade school and learn a trade you really like that people want and need. People always need electrical skills, masonry skills, carpentry skills, you know, plumbing skills, cleaning skills. Do the things that there's actually work for. We just have this very Pollyannish attitude about, oh, yeah, college. Yeah, well, that used to be the case. It's not now. And also, there's plenty of inexpensive land. If you go upstate, if you live in New York, you go up into the further counties up, you'll find land that is dirt cheap, nice, beautiful views, quality soil, clean air. And that's where you should look at the future to have yourself that's an inexpensive, sustainable place to live with yourself or other people. Hydroponic is the future because you don't need the soil and doesn't matter what the weather is. Hydroponics can work in cold or hot, either way. And also, if you're using the internet, educate yourself about other browsers and search engines and platforms such as Tor, T-O-R, to get off our government's radar. Stop using Facebook, Google, Microsoft, MySpace, and limit your social media activity. Remember, every single thing that you do, they're data mining, and the intelligence agencies are able to do all that. They're also able to de-encrypt your emails. hide your IP addresses. Tor will do this. Or download Proxify, Proxify, or Ghosteria, Ghosterry. If you use Firefox, Chrome, or Mac Safari, forget if you use Microsoft Explorer. It's a mini spy machine. Protect yourself from identity theft. Change passwords every week. Drive less and only when necessary. Walk and bike. Rely upon maps more and GPS. Remember, GPS tracks you everywhere you go. Try to avoid credit cards whenever possible. Get off meat. You're going to save money and save your health and save the environment. Learn to dry, freeze dry, and juice. Eat more fermented foods and learn to make them yourself. As also, there's even the whole idea of starting to read labels is a radical concept for people who never understood what was on the label and how important it was. Understand the importance of what's in the product. It's on the label. So only buy things you understand and are good for you. Read books instead of watching television. Bring your own shopping bags. Stop using plastic. Buy secondhand and then redo it. Something fun, and it's a wonderful thing to do. And get into nature and wilderness and parks as much as possible. Always look for ways to recycle and reuse everything. Buy local. Support your local economy. Support local farms and small entrepreneurs making organic products. Join food co-ops. Become involved in your schools and raise alarm over dumbed-down educational practices and teaching methods and poor teaching. Invest in companies with moral backbone and are sustainably driven. Buy American-made and union-made as much as possible. Avoid shopping in box store retailers like Walmart. Avoid purchasing food products with GMOs and eat organic as much as possible. Don't vaccinate until you've done your homework and read the articles. I have posted more than 44 articles I've written along with some of our scholars and residents, including Richard Gale, and I've produced 3 award-winning documentaries on vaccines that are there for you to watch and articles there for you to read as a public service, so at least you have no reason not to be fully educated. Shift savings and checking to local savings and loan banks and use credit unions that do not engage in rampant derivative and exotic investment instruments. Get your money out of Citibank, Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo. Support civil rights organizations with attorneys who will challenge the status quo and challenge the Justice Department. Support the ACLU and Public Citizen. Help initiate and support community barter services where individuals can sign up and provide their talents and time when available to share on a non-currency-based exchange model. Engage in community service. Become engaged with these sites around the country and people that need your help. Big brother, big sister. Boycott food purchased from major supermarket chains. Boycott all genetically engineered foods and labeling. Vote with your conscience, not your fears. Then you would have voted for Jill Stein. And second best would have been Bernie Sanders, but that had been a long way back. Now, before we go to open calls and talk back at 888-874-4888, which I'm going to do, we're going to hear from a doctor who's going to tell you about cancer, chemotherapy, and why the chemotherapy, and the science backs this person up, by the way, is killing more people than the cancer. It was approximately 15 months and 2 weeks ago that we went to do our Friday show. And since all of our programs originated in our studios in New York City through the Progressive Radio Network, we called in to WBAI and the engineer said, haven't you heard? And I was listening because I'm tuned into our studio. I was on the road and they said, listen to what? They said, you're no longer on the air. Why? Don't know. Asked the manager. So we only found out we were no longer on BAI by calling in to do our show. There had been no announcement, no letter, no email, nothing. Later, there was a one sentence, not even a sentence, one line. That's after 40 years of raising over $50 million and of bringing over 50% of WBAI's audience over 40 years and helping the station and forgiving my salary, which was over $1.6 million over 40 years, and all the other things done. Now, the station manager has every right to fire or hire anyone that person wants for any reason, and that's fine. I don't question that. What I question is the lack of civility, manners, and professionalism. That I tried to understand. I gave my best. I did about 30 phone calls and emails and no answer. In fact, for the next 6 months, not a single word. But a close friend of mine who has worked for the station, both at different times of management, and called me and says, well, I'll give you a heads up on this. The reason you're not back on Friday is because they want to prove that they don't need Gary Noll's audience. They don't like your audience, Gary. What's wrong with my audience? Well, it's progressive. And that's not the direction politically and ideologically that the particular people in charge want. It goes back to 2004, and they have their own idea, and your audience and you are not a part of it. Fine. And they're just going to show they can make the money without you, and then they can say, see, we never needed him anyhow. And so a whole marathon went by, and I wasn't asked to participate. And then the next marathon came, and they died in that one. And the next marathon, they died again. And so 2 weeks into that one, I got a call saying, help us out. I asked, why did you take me off the air? No answer. We'll talk about it after the marathon. Well, we didn't. I never got a response. To this day, I have no idea. I don't want to speculate because that would be subjective. And I believe in manners. I believe in ethics. I believe in taking a higher ground. I just accept that whatever someone has done, they've had their motivation and reasoning for doing it. The fact they choose not to share it with me or my audience is their prerogative. As this is my first day back, we decided to take a look at the number of people listening on my last Arbitron from 15 months ago. As of today, we have lost 96% of our audience. So we're building from scratch. My hope is that in time we will build it back up to where it once was or close to it, and therefore be able to support overall the station's mandate. And that is my hope. But it's going to take a while. In the interim, for those of you who've wondered, some are under this idea that I only have the station and no other medium. No, I learned a lesson in 2004, and that was that if I'm not appreciated, my audience is not appreciated on a particular medium, which is fine, then I'll just go out and create one where we are. And that's what I've done. And so with creating that, we now have the Progressive Radio Network. And to give you an idea of some of the numbers, we're not dealing in 100 people per hour or 200 people in morning drive. No, the Gary Noll Show, quote, this is from episode hits, 42,348,648 total downloads. That's monthly 1,448,275. Gee whiz, that would be more than the entire Pacifica Foundation's five stations combined. Then some. And then number one radio program in the world on Zeno Radio, out of 10,500 broadcasters. I had just recently 23,400,000 total minutes. That beat out Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, Laura Ingraham. And also then our reach, and on PRN reach is 14 million plus per month on Facebook, just looking at that, and a milestone in internet radio, quote, 10 million monthly listeners tune in to the Gary Noll Show on, okay, and impressions on a month, 28,368,193, social interactions, 850,734, page views of the articles I post every day, 262,043, website hits 107,729, and so it goes. And the people who have watched the documentaries, 5,300,000. So, we're happy to be back. We're happy to help the station. We're happy to raise funds if we can, and we're happy to bring whatever the energy of the station is on the social issues that we can agree upon, need addressing. But do not think for a moment that somehow this is being done for any other reason than to help a station that I've been helping for 40, going on 41 years. We still have no answers. We have no discussion. We have no dialogue. And that's fine. That's what they want. That's fine. We're here to help, and we will continue to help on all issues we can. We're going to take a break and come right back and play a piece. And if you would like to call in and share your comments, thoughts, questions, issues, our talkback segment 888-874-4888. And let's go to this. Let's go to this segment, then we'll come back and take some calls. From Dr. Hardin Jones.
Doctor, can we talk about cancer a little bit? Various types out there. What are some of the things that you've seen in terms of your patients, and what some of the things that you've been able to do?
A better thing to talk about in relationship to cancer, well, I will talk about that, right? A better thing to talk about, however, is the relationship between profits and cancer in the United States. There was a study that was published, I believe it was in 1994. It was a 12-year program, 12-year study. They looked at adults who had developed cancer as an adult, not childhood cancer, but adult cancer, right? And this is the main types of cancer that we get here in the United States. They did a meta-analysis of these people all around the world who developed cancer as adults for 12 years and were treated with chemo. And they looked at the results. And they published the results in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. And the results? 97% of the time, chemotherapy does not work. 97% of the time, it doesn't work. So why is it still used? It's one reason and one reason only. Money. If you go to a medical doctor, an MD, with a sinus infection, and that doctor prescribes an antibiotic, he gets no financial kickback. Now, if he prescribes 5,000, you know, of that antibiotic in 1 month, the drug company that makes it might send him to Cancun for a conference, right? Mm-hmm. But he gets no direct remuneration. It's not with chemotherapeutic drugs, it's different. Chemotherapeutic drugs are the only classification of drugs that the prescribing doctor gets a direct cut of. So if your doctor prescribes chemotherapy for you, here's how it goes, more or less. The doctor buys it from the pharmaceutical company for $5,000, sells it to the patient for $12,000, insurance pays $9,000, and the doctor pockets the $4,000 difference. And there ought to be a law. The only reason chemotherapy is used is because doctors make money from it. Period. It doesn't work 97% of the time. If Ford Motor Company made an automobile that exploded 97% of the time, would they still be in business? No.
Okay, there you had it. 97% of the time. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.